Most of you know we have June is our mission state, our mission statement is our missions pledge month. So that is coming up. So be praying. One of the people that she mentioned was the Mishler family, and they have had God touch their hearts and kind of do some changes in their ministry. They still travel out and help people with, you know, in remote places, but now what they're doing is they are having pastors' conferences. So they're bringing in pastors from all over Mexico, and they made friends, as Randy was telling in one of his newsletters recently. He said, you know, my whole life I never knew one person that had anything to do with hotels. And he said, in the last 2 years, I know people who own hotels in Mexico, beautiful hotels. And these people are giving them this hotel, the rooms, the space, the food at cost. I mean, it's like 5-star hotels. He's like, it's insane to think that we're able to bring these people. And he said, a lot of them come from very remote villages where they don't even have running water. So they're bringing them into these places and they're, you know, witnessing, whoa, this is amazing. You know, it's like a resort for them to be able to come and be refreshed and renewed. And he was sharing this last conference. It was really cool. They always bless each of the pastors with a financial gift just to sow into their ministries. And there was one particular couple that was really having a difficult time in their church. And just earlier in the conference, they had shared their hearts of how they've been heavy and dealing with some stuff. And the pastors, all without Randy knowing, had a meeting and came to him and said, listen to this, this is so cool. Came to him and said, we want all of our gifts to go to this ministry. So you have people that are being sown into, that in the middle of being sown into are saying, no, wait, we want to be sowers into this. We want to plant a seed. I just thought, this is some good soil that we're a part of that. We've been giving part of our missions to this conference. So we're not just sowing into the Mishlers, but we're sowing into pastors all over Mexico. How exciting is that? You know, I don't know if you remember, but the very first time before they went down to Tijuana, we prayed over them. And the Lord showed me that when they got there, that their lives were going to be like a rock that is thrown into the water with the rippling effects. Does anybody remember that? The Lord was reminding me about that the other day. And that's what's happening. One family planted in Mexico, but they're ministering to all of these pastors, and the effects of their ministry are going out further and further and further. And these pastors are spreading the news. So now he has other pastors that are calling saying, wait a minute, we didn't get invited. So they're having to do multiple ones in a year. What a problem to have, that you have so many people that want to be a part. Amen? So our seed is what goes into that when we give our missions pledge. So be praying. We're not a church that wants you just to come and we're going to give you a sob story about all the terrible things that are happening in the world. No, you're going to come and you're going to be uplifted, and it's going to be exciting because we're going to share testimonies. And we know that when there is a need, that God instructs us what to do so we can help with that by sowing a seed. Amen? Amen. So just be praying about what your next gift will be. Again, it's a pledge, and then you have all of the next, well, it would be for 2026 to 2027 to be able to fulfill that pledge. Okay, now back to this. All right, tithes and offerings. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Genesis 14. And we're continuing on with our new series, What Does a Tithing Heart Look Like? And we know from a couple weeks before that a tither's heart is a faithful heart. Somebody say amen. And it's also a generous heart. Somebody say amen. And this is a two-parter, and I've never seen this before, so I'm very excited about this. This is a two-parter, and we'll read through the whole text, and then we'll do part of it today and part of it next week. And in verse 18, it says this in chapter 14 of Genesis, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham. Someone say blessed. Saying, blessed be Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and the goods, or give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will not accept, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal. so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. In chapter 15. And after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield and your very great reward. Okay, so this story, for those of you who don't know, Abraham's nephew Lot was living in Sodom. Remember, they went up on the high place and they picked which way they wanted to go because Abraham and Lot had too many people. It was becoming a problem. And Lot, being a young man, looked and saw the green side and said, give me this. And so Abram led him, right? And so he went to Sodom. He was living in Sodom. And at that time, there were a multitude of kings, I think it was four or five, that came together. And they came in and they captured Sodom. And they took the people away. And Abram was made aware, one person escaped. And he went and he said, your nephew Lot and everything he's owned has been captured and taken away. So Abram gathers his people, 318, to go against four or five kings and their men. 318. Sometimes you ever look at God's numbers and go, that doesn't make any sense. You know, you're all reading, Abraham gathered his troop, and 318. I'm like, 308? I think I'd be standing toward the back. Right? Let the other 317 go ahead, right? But Abraham understood the God that he served. And Lot was part of his family. Now listen, Lot was part of his family. And the devil was trying to take part of his family. And Abraham said, I don't think so. I don't think so. So it says that he set out, right? And it says that he actually got Lot and all of his stuff and all of the plunder, right? So they literally wiped out these kings. And the king of Sodom is on his way to Abraham, but before he gets there, the Lord has a visitation with Abraham, right? And I love what he says, blessed be Abraham by the God Most High. He doesn't say somebody else blessed him. He's saying the blessing comes from God Most High, right? And then he blesses God. And then it says, Abraham then gave a tenth of everything. Of what? What was everything? The plunder. All the mass that they had, he gave a tenth to Melchizedek, right? So we see him give a tithe. This is the first time a tithe is mentioned in the Bible. Very important. First time a tithe is mentioned in the Bible. We see that Abraham gives it after he's been blessed, right? But what happens after he gives the tithe? If you keep reading in chapter 15, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. So after he tithes, after he declines and says, I don't need the world's wealth, my wealth comes from the Lord, right? After he does all that, the word of the Lord comes to him. And he says, Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your shield. Another word for shield is king. I am your king and your very great reward. And as you keep reading in chapter 15, all of a sudden there is a shift in Abraham's life because God promises him an heir. So not only is he blessed before he does all of this warfare, because he had so much that he had to split with Lot, right? So he's already blessed. But he chooses to put God first and give his tithe, and he's blessed by Melchizedek, and then the Lord visits him again and blesses him even more. So guess what? When you look into a tither's heart, what do you see? Blessed. Somebody say blessed. Say, I am blessed. When we are tithers, we are blessed. We're blessed before we give, we're blessed when we give, and we're blessed right on into the future. Do you understand that Abraham's blessing has never stopped? His blessing has never stopped. His children are definitely more than the stars. When you look from here back, the blessing is uncountable. The number of children that he had, right? How many kids did he have at this time when he got the blessing? None. None. So he took it by faith, and he said, I am blessed. I am blessed. And later on, we see that he was blessed to be a blessing to the nations. Wow. We got to stop thinking, Lord, I just need to be blessed for me and mine. No. We have to have an Abraham mentality. We are blessed to be a blessing for the future, not just for today and not just for us, but for the nations. This is so exciting, and it ties right in with what Lindsay was praying about today, right? What do we have when we do ministry? You have to have finances. There are no two ways around it, right? How does the NFL have all the stuff that they have? Because they're just good people. They have what? Finances, right? It's financed by people, right? What do you do when you have Red Cross? They're just really wonderful people. No, somebody finances that. Are you listening today? So why would the world expect the church to be any different? You have to have finances to be able to do the things that God has called you to do. Yes, like Randy was saying, what a blessing to be able to have the hotels, you know, give them such a cut rate so that they can bring in these pastors. That is amazing. But how much more incredible to be able to say every pastor's conference 2026 to 2027 is paid for already. Are you listening to me? We want to believe for that. And it takes what? Finances. It takes finances. It takes people being obedient to what the Lord has asked them to do. So when you are blessed and you get extra, that's wonderful. But stop and ask the Lord, what do I do with this extra? What do I do with this blessing? Right? Because I want to be blessed to be a blessing. I don't want to stop the flow of what God is doing in my life. I always want to keep it moving. Amen? We want to be the ones that God pours and it goes, right? Kind of like a fountain, right? It comes up underneath and brings joy, right? That's what we want to do. We want to be so blessed. Amen? So this is the first time, I'll just give you a little taste for next week. This is the first time that a tenth was talked about. And it is the very first time in chapter 15, in verse 1, it says this, do not be afraid. Very first time that this is ever mentioned. So very first time it talks about tithing, and the very first time that it talks about do not be afraid. Don't miss next week. It's going to be good. Okay? Amen. Grab your tithes and offering. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. That we are learning what a tither's heart should have. We should be faithful people. Because when you're a tither, you are a faithful giver. We should be generous people because we should be like you. And as our Father, you are a generous giver. It says, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain. That's how we should be as tithers, is we should be willing to be able to give whenever and to whomever. And at whatever time, Father, you tell us to give, we should be willing to give. And Father, today we should also have the word blessed. When people see us, they should go, man, that girl is blessed. Man, that guy is blessed. That family is blessed. Look at how God has blessed them. And we'll be a testimony to the people around us, Father. What a testimony Abram was to the king of Sodom. I don't need your wealth. What? I'm sure he was shocked. I'm sure he was shocked when Abraham declined the wealth. But Abraham knew that he served a God that was able not just to give him a one-time blessing, but a lifetime of blessing. And Father, I pray today as we sow our tithe that we would remind ourselves, God, that you call us blessed. And we are blessed not just once, not just twice, but a lifetime filled with blessings. That's what you have in store for tithers. And I just praise you, Lord, for every seed that is sown today, 100-fold harvest. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.
And thank you, Shelley, for all those magnificent words that you bring us. We had a good friend of ours, Barbarina, here last week, and she's so funny. I forgot about her wit, you know, but we served together in the Foursquare Church for quite a while together, and And she came up to me afterwards and she was like, you know, I loved the service on Sunday morning, but the only thing was a woman spoke and she asked for money. Oh, man, that is so funny. It just took me, I was like, oh, you, just hilarious. But, you know, it's funny. We were talking about that does bother some people if a woman has the microphone, right? How many remember Marilyn Hickey passed recently, right? I don't know if anybody heard about that, but she just passed in the past couple weeks, I think. And I was watching a broadcast that she did in the past few years with Jean Bailey. It's called Revival Radio TV. If you just search it out, and she has an interview that she does with him there. And what an adventure woman. Yes. Her and her daughter, Sarah, and they would, you know, her husband had passed years ago. And they would travel the world. And she had a broadcast and just teaching the word, always full of joy, always a smile on her face. And teach a woman of God, teaching the word, right? And she shared one story on this broadcast that she had a heart for Pakistan. Now, just put that in perspective. Can you imagine a woman in her 80s, Jesus told me to go teach in Pakistan, right? Surrounded by Muslim, you know, people that want to kill you for teaching about Jesus in Pakistan. Well, she went a number of times. In this one particular event, they had like 100,000 people and they're preaching Jesus to them. And she was like, we realized we can't really leave because they'll probably crush us trying to get to the door. If we get in the car, they will pound on the car. They're all so excited, you know. So they had to literally, it reminded me of the book of Acts when they had to lower Paul down the wall and they had to lean a ladder up against a wall, and she's in her 80s and they climb this wall and come down on the other side and there's a taxi waiting for them on the freeway, right? I mean, that's just the way she lived. So don't tell me women are not called to the ministry, right? There's thousands of people that will be in heaven because of people like Marilyn Hickey and what she did, right? And just thinking about, you know, the first ones that went preaching the God, Jesus didn't see Peter and John and Matthew after the first, you know, when he rose from the dead. The first people he saw were the people that were coming to the tomb, which were women. And he told the women, go and tell. He didn't say, now, Mary Magdalene, go and tell Matthew and John to go tell. No. Go and tell them. The men were hiding. So it's just wonderful to know that it doesn't matter the vessel. This has to be a willing vessel, someone who's called of God. And we celebrate people like Marilyn Hickey, right? And she's entered into her reward. And may God comfort the ministry there and all the people there. And just glorious things. Amen? Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word that you have for us today. We receive it with thanksgiving. Thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to each one of us today. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we're continuing a series that I'm calling Heart Condition, and our foundation text has been Psalm 139, verse 23, and it says this. If you want to turn to that scripture is actually on the notes page, but if you want to turn somewhere in the Bible, we're eventually going to get to Hebrews 4 and hang out there for a while. So, but our foundation text, Psalm 139, verse 23, and also, I just want to thank you guys, all of you who were here for the memorial service last week. What a time that was, celebrating Vance's life, and we just thank you for being here. The thoughts, the phone calls, the cards, I mean, and just that your support was here, and that we had this space because of you to use, and a lot of people heard the gospel that day and got, I believe, touched by Jesus that day, and just wanted to say thank you to you guys for that. So, hallelujah. Amen. But Psalm 139, verse 23 King David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Hallelujah. Somebody just say that. Search me, O God, right? Now, how many know a lot of King David was at that time probably without doubt the most powerful leader on the planet. And I wonder today how many leaders, public leaders, would just welcome, come and search my files, search my internet history, search my office, search my house. Right? But there are good leaders out there that are transparent and have hearts that are right with God. But there are many, 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 many who, just like Lindsay prayed, need to be removed. Repent or be removed. But David set the example of servant leadership. And that doesn't certainly mean he was a perfect human being, right? But just that attitude of search me, O God. Know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. And the word search means things like to search for, to search through, to explore, to examine thoroughly, to be searched out, to be found out, to be examined, to search out, to seek out, right? And how many know nobody does quite a thorough of a job that God can do, right? And it's real easy for us as believers, as Christians, to get almost uppity about search out so-and-so. We want to know what's all in those, what's the files they're all talking about? Epstein. We want all the details of the Epstein. What about all the details of Steve Livengood's heart? Amen? I mean, it's got to get that personal. I mean, we do absolutely cry for justice, absolutely. But it needs to first start with me. Lord, search me out and expose, turn the light on in areas of my heart that need to be cleaned out so that I can be right with you and contrite with you and I can be an effective tool in your hand. Amen? Somebody to say, search me, Lord. Search me. Search me, right? And when it talks about know my thoughts, that word is translated disquieting thoughts, anxious thoughts. Doubts, secrets of our lives, things that we don't really care that anybody else would ever know. Somebody say, bring them to Jesus. Come to Jesus with it. Come clean with him. We have to be in the habit of coming clean and staying clean, keeping our life in the light, and staying out of darkness in our lives. Amen? In pest control, some of the worst pests that we deal with love darkness. Roaches. Right? Bed bugs. Don't want to be seen. Subterranean termites. Destroying the house. But you can't see them. And they're symbolic of demons, of darkness, of issues that are underlying under the surface. And how many know only God can deliver a human being from such things. Amen? But we do have a part to play in our deliverance. It's called come clean. Just admit we need him. Just somebody to say, I need you, Lord. I just admit it. I needed a Savior. That's why I got saved. That's why I came to Jesus, because I realized I need a Savior. Because I realized I don't want to spend eternity in a place called hell. And I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. And then we just get used to every day bringing our hearts and our thoughts to him. I did a little research on, before we progress here, on a hymn. I was meditating on these things, and I remembered this hymn, some lyrics in this hymn called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
I mean, I don't hear these songs too often anymore, but there's reasons why certain hymns just keep carrying over generation to generation to generation. And the author, the writer of that hymn, his name was Robert Robinson. And listen to this little bio on him. And this is from a website I found called Hymn Charts. by Don Chapman, the writer. And he says the raucous laughter of young Robert Robinson and his friends shattered the sanctity of a London Sunday. Their latest escapade, plying a gypsy with drink and demanding for free fortunes. As the inebriated fortune teller's gaze fell upon Robinson, her words cut through his bravado. "You'll live to see your children and grandchildren." The young troublemaker's heart skipped a beat. Little did he know that this seemingly random encounter would set in motion a series of events leading to a creation of one of Christianity's most beloved hymns, "The Gypsy's Prophecy," and had planted a seed of unease in Robert's mind. The vision of a future filled with family clashed sharply with his current path of debauchery. It was in this state of inner conflict that Robert and his gang decided to disrupt a tent meeting in 1752. Their intention, to mock the deluded Methodists. I love that inner conflict. That's what we're talking about, right? Disquieting thoughts. The preacher that day was, guess who? None other than George Whitefield. Somebody say, wrong guy to mess with, right? His powerful voice. Don't you wish they had recording devices back then? I mean, to hear, we have written sermons, but I think they're making a movie about one of the classic preachers coming soon. We'll get back to that. But the preacher that day was none other than George Whitefield, his powerful voice ringing out with the words of Matthew 3:7, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Those words pierced Robert's heart like an arrow. He later recalled those words, sank into my heart like lead in water. I wept, and for weeks I could think of little else. The Lord had begun his work in Robert's life. The full fruit of that labor wouldn't be seen for some time. But he went through his life, and he, you know, even after becoming a Christian and a pastor over some years, he still had turmoil and things that he dealt with throughout his life. But this song, let me just read to you some of the lyrics. Many of you may know this already. "But come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart." That's what we're talking about here. Somebody say, tune my heart. Right? "To sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious," I'm going to try to pronounce some of these words, "melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the name, I'm fixed upon it." See? Somebody say, "I'm fixed on you, Lord." Right? "Name of thy redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me." Verse 2. "Thou hast brought me to this place, and I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger." Jesus sought me. "Jesus sought me when a stranger." Right? "Wandering from the fold of God." Wandering. Somebody say wandering. Right? "He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood." Verse 3. "O to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be." That makes me think of how many people try to do this "let's make a deal" thing with God. We're talking about motive here, the heart. How many know he doesn't really owe me anything. I owe him everything. Hallelujah, right? "Oh, to grace. Oh, great a debtor. How great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee." Somebody say glory to God. We're talking about the heart. How many people, just in our culture right now, in 2026 in the United States of America, feel like Follow your heart. However you feel, that is God to you. That's a lie. I mean, if you're interested in making heaven your home, that's a lie. How many know our hearts without Jesus are desperately wicked and will lead us astray, not most of the time, somebody say every time, every time. So just because I feel like something, even as a born-again believer, I've been serving God for many years, we still have to be fettered down to God. Otherwise, we wander away. We drift away with the current of culture. I love this, right? These words are eternal here, right? Bind my wandering heart to thee, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. I just kind of feel like doing my own thing today. I mean, he's talking to us. He's talking to the church today, right? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This is reality of the human heart, right? The human condition, right? Here's my heart. There he goes, right? Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Now that's the prayer God loves to hear. And that should be a prayer we pray every day. I'm not talking about getting saved again and again and again and again. I'm just talking about, here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Hallelujah, right? Oh, verse 4, oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, full arrayed in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Bring thy promises to pass. For I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last. Glory to God. Isn't that beautiful? But that was the phrase that came to me, and I couldn't remember what the hymn was my wandering heart. Right? But when you get yourself tied down to the Word of God, tied down to Jesus, anchored to the truth, it keeps us from drifting away. And how many know the world needs more Christians in it that do not drift away with the culture, with how I feel? Amen. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, we went over recently, last week. But one of the verses in there talked about calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. Somebody say, call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I mean, it's better to call on him regardless, but are our motives right? Amen? Are we using him as, I heard Jesse DePlantis call it, jailhouse religion? Well, I'm in trouble, so I'll call on him while I need it. I mean, who likes a family member like that who only comes around when they need something? Right? No, we come to him because we love him, because we need him. Yes, we need him. That's okay to say that, right? But are our hearts pure, are clean, purified by fire? It means the word pure there. Like a vine cleansed by pruning and so fitted to bear fruit. Free from corrupt desires. I sowed into a radio station this past week on my brother's behalf because his love for music was, you know, the Vance, right? And I took some money, and there's a Christian radio station that I really have been, these past few months, very worship-centered. And I just felt like, you know what, I just want my brother's legacy to go on forever. So I sowed it into the kingdom of God. But I found out when I called, I just happened to call on a whim, and they were like, well, thank you, you're now in the drawing for the $3,500 gift card. And my heart just went, I was, yes! But then I had to do a heart check. That's not the reason why I called to sow money into this ministry. I didn't even say it that way, but I had to do a heart check. Because I was just thinking, I wonder how many people out there are just calling every time they throw another gift card out there, right? Why? Not because you love Jesus, and it's like you're rolling the dice, right? It's a motive thing. Of course, the blessing of God is there. But where's our hearts in our giving and whatever it is that we're doing for the Lord? Are we giving from a place of purity? Right? Are we attending church or doing whatever we do for God? Is it from a place, are our motives right? Amen? Glory to God. And I love this really is where I'm going with this today in terms of purity from 2 Timothy chapter 2. It talks about free from every admixture of what is false, sincere and genuine, right? Is there anything that I'm adding to what the Lord has called me to do that He didn't tell me to do? These are good places to check our own hearts. Is Steve adding something to what God told him to do? And there's numerous examples of this in the Bible. One that immediately comes to mind is Abraham and Sarah. Remember that? You will have a child. And Sarah goes into logic. I'm 90-some years old. Here's my handmaiden. And Abraham went to logic. Okay. You're attractive, young Egyptian handmaiden. Yeah, that's a thus saith the Lord. That's surely how God's going to establish His covenant. No, they added something. And that's why we have terrorism on the planet right now. It's a war, like Rabbi Shulam said, in Israel. He said, the problem is with family members in this war, right? And God's still saving them. They're still part of God's, that's what the promise He gave to Ishmael, right? But they still need to come to Jesus. But how many know problems start when Steve adds things to what God said to do? Hallelujah. But I want to look at Hebrews chapter 4, and we're just going to hang out there for the duration of this message, as far as I know. But in terms of having a pure heart towards the Lord, what He's called us to do. But we're just going to start in verse 1. There's only 16 verses in this chapter, so I think it's okay. I think we could probably, our attention span can handle 16 verses, right, church? Amen. Unless you're used to TikTok, where it's 7 seconds. Pastor Steve, it's been past 7 seconds. Say amen. No. Somebody say, I'm a grown-up Christian, right? I'm a big kid Christian. I got my big kid pants on, right? Therefore, since a promise remains to enter His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, verse 2, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Somebody say, mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Somebody say, we who have believed, right? And where you believe is in the heart. Amen? We who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Somebody say, because of disobedience, right? We're going to come back to verse 2 and verse 6 in just a moment. Again, He designates a certain day, saying, David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear His voice. Somebody say, today. If you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. How many know God is our Father? And any good father, when they ask their kid to do something, do they mean tomorrow? Son, it's time to mow the grass. Okay, Dad, I'll do it tomorrow. right? It's time to clean your room. Okay, I'll get right to that tomorrow. Let's take the trash out. I'll get to that tomorrow. Next week sometime. No, how many know God is more interested in getting it done today? So if he brings me a corrective word, when should I respond to that? Today. He told me a while back, he said, I'm looking for people who are responsive, not reclusive. That's called hardening the heart. How many people today, I wonder, intended to be in church? Now, if people have to do something else on a church, but if they're in the habit, somebody say in the habit of intending to do something that God told you to do, but you're in the habit of not doing, that's not a good thing. That's hardened. Why? Because it hardens the heart. Church is like, remember those tools they had? My mom used to have one. I don't know if you still have one, Mom, that shiny metal hammer thing with the spikes on the end of it, and you would... The hamburger, right? Softening the hamburger. Whatever that was called. Tenderizer. Thank you, Mark. How many know church is a tenderizer of the heart? Spending time with Jesus is a tenderizer. Is it uncomfortable to have your heart tenderized? Yes. But are we better for it? Somebody say absolutely. Somebody say tenderize me, Jesus. Tenderize me, right? Hallelujah. Otherwise, we get hard. Our ears get hard of hearing toward the Lord. We get slow in our responsiveness. That's why smoking marijuana should be outlawed. Should be. Shouldn't be legal anywhere. Because why? Slow.
I think I'm going to turn left. Now.
Crash! Too late. Somebody say, too late. Too late. God is looking for people that are responsive, not reclusive. That will be quick to respond. It's one of the things I loved about my time at New Beginnings Christian Center back in the day. They taught me to be quick. Because I realized I wasn't quick enough. The first time I met, like had a face-to-face with Pastor Tiz over there, it was not a friendly conversation. I was on the maintenance team, and she wanted to ask me a question about something that wasn't done right. And I was just like, hi. She's like, are you listening to me? I want this done now. Yes, ma'am, I'm on it. How many know you have a choice at that point? You can either get hard or you can get with it. Amen. How many know God's looking for people that will respond quickly? Today, somebody say, today, when I hear his voice, I will not harden my heart. Glory to God forevermore. And isn't it easy when he says something that we like, that we're already good at? But it's those things that we don't necessarily want to do, or certainly not right now. I know that's on the list. Hallelujah. I remember a mentor back there at New Beginnings, Pastor Scott Sigmund, taught me these things too. I worked with him for a long time, and he was big about having lists for everything. I was like, yeah, but I don't feel that right. I just want to do what I feel like needs to be done. He's like, Steve, we work from a list. Okay. Right? And he said, and on the list, you'll find things that are urgent and you'll find things that are important. Which ones do you think should be at the top of the list? Urgent things or important things? I guess the important things. Yeah, he taught me some things about responsiveness, about how you order and structure your day. These things changed my life. Hallelujah for it. Hallelujah, right? And sometimes I still hear that voice in my head. Are you working from a list? What's on the list? Right? Amen. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. I think that kind of reminds me of the word that we had for the kids this morning about a javelin in the hands of God. That javelin is at rest, but it is in the hands of God, and it is going somewhere. Wherever God intends it to go, that's where it's going. It doesn't mean we're sitting around being lazy, doing nothing, expecting God to do everything. Amen? We rest in him, but we're actively at rest. Listening for his voice, obeying his commands, following his list, his procedures, right? Not my list, his list. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, verse 11, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged javelin, right? Two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Somebody say intent of the heart. Pastor Terry, a woman minister, was speaking today at Eagle Mountain International Church, and she was going right over these same verses. And I thought, wow, that tells me I'm going the right direction, because they're talking about this too, right? The intent of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, verse 13, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Somebody say, hold fast our confession. We're coming back to that verse in a moment too. For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. How are we supposed to come to the throne? Somebody say, boldly. Right? Not crawling on your face. Woe is me. I'm so bad. Right? No, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Aren't you glad it's a throne of grace and not judgment? Because there is a throne of judgment. But that's not for you. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. You come in there to receive grace. There will be a day where it will be the throne of judgment, but not for you. Somebody say glory to God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let me coach you up on one thing about approaching that throne of grace. You don't come in telling him what to do. That's not what boldly means. We boldly go where no one has gone before. I'm watching a lot of Star Trek lately, right? You come in boldly listening. If you have your requests, make them known to God, but I don't come in there telling him what he needs to do and how to do it and when to do it and why to do it. No, let your request be made known, pour your heart out, and then hush, right? And listen for orders. Glory to God forevermore. But I want to look at verse 2, and we'll start with that for a moment. We're talking about holding fast. How many know we need hearts that can hold fast? Because if you haven't noticed, we're in a really crazy world. A world that's tossed to and fro by every doctrine and philosophy and crazy devil and scheme of the devil and sin, that the devil just seems like he's inventing new sins, new sicknesses, and new, you know, just crazy stuff. So how do we make it through? We hold fast. We hold fast to Jesus. Not in fear, in faith. He's looking for hearts that aren't full of fear, but hearts that are full of faith. Hearts of fear are the coal heart. Hearts of faith are the diamond heart. And as we say in every message in this series, so far anyway, all a diamond is a lump of coal that could take the pressure. Amen. But verse 2 says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." How many know, somebody say, "I'm in the us group. I'm not in the them group." Right? I want, when Paul looks at me, when we meet Paul someday, I want him to say, "Oh, you're with us." Not, "Oh, you're one of them." There was, at the track meet yesterday, there was this kid there. We're at Oregon State. And there was a kid there about to do the triple jump, and he took off his sweats. Oregon, University of Oregon. Big O on his chest. Maybe you're not familiar with Oregon State, Oregon. Rivalry. Even more in the past few years because of some things that have happened in the league and all that. And these triple jump guys, sometimes they would get the fans like clapping. "Come on, clap for me, clap." And everyone would start doing the same clap, and then they would take off and run and jump. He tried that. And I noticed a lot less people clapping. For why? Because he's one of them. He's not one of us. How many want, when you see Jesus, him to say, "Oh, you're with us," instead of, "What are you doing here? You're one of them." Somebody say, "I'm one of us." Right? Amen. "For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Why? Why? Because their heart was a lump of coal. Right? Because it wasn't being mixed with faith. No faith. We hear this from Jesus time and time and time and time and time and time. Where is your faith? Why did you fear? And the word mixed means to mix together, to commingle, to unite one thing to another. This is a beautiful thing about faith. I believe we are a faith church. I love Word of Faith Ministries, and I just love the intensity, the quickness. I want to be quicker, so I train with the quick. That's how javelin guys throw farther, I've learned this in track the past few years. That's how we get people to run faster, is we put them with the group that's running faster, throwing farther. That's why Luke got number 4 in state last year, because at state, everybody throws farther, because everyone is throwing far. So you train with those who are quick, and you'll get quicker, right? But listen to this statement about faith right here. I want you to catch this, right? When it talks about mixed, it means to mix together, to commingle, to unite one thing to another. Oh, man, that is powerful. That is a powerful thought. Why do people come into church and leave not changed? Because they didn't listen with faith. All they heard was words. And so they left the same way they came in. Whatever it is you're believing for, and you find it in the Word of God, you mix that with faith, and the faith is what will unite you to your miracle, to your breakthrough. How many want to be united with divine health, united with prosperity, united with tons of people getting saved and delivered and healed and building an awesome church that touches the world, united with restoration in your family, united and making one thing come together? How many want to come together with the purpose and plan of God for your life? It's not going to happen if we have no faith. But if you mix the Word of God with faith, a decision to believe, meditate on it, chew on it, study it, hear it preached. I love how Billy Burke talks about it at his miracle services. And he'll say every time you hear a word preached, you hear a sermon or this, you're adding one more element, getting yourself one step closer to that breakthrough. How do you know this won't be the one that breaks it through? That's how we got to look at this. What's that called? It's called holding fast. Somebody say, mix it with faith. I mean, that's what gets it done, man. Faith is what gets it done. That is the active ingredient. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's not God's part to make you believe. No, somebody say, I choose to believe. And I choose to continue, right? Verse 6 says this, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They entered not in, why? Because of unbelief. So what they heard was mixed with unbelief. I was in our pest control rig the other day. It had kind of a sour smell in the tank because the product was mixed and it was left there too long. So I used it, got it all emptied out. It still kind of had that sour kind of residue smell. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll add some Dawn soap in there and kind of get some suds. And my son, who's also in the industry, he goes, you can't do that because if you add Dawn soap, it will nullify the active ingredient. And it will make it useless. How many of you got to watch what you add? Yeah, I know the word says that, but my experiences say this, right? But so, my grandmother said that, but I saw this over here and I heard that. What's the word say? Somebody say, what's the word say? Stay with what the word says and stop adding our own stuff to it. Hallelujah. Right? That's the intensity God is looking for. And if we want to see things breaking through. And look at the word unbelief means obstinacy. Obstinate opposition to the divine will. And I would dare say, I don't think I'm stepping out on a limb to say that I think there are maybe Christians in this world that are downright obstinate in opposition to the divine will of God. They might agree with salvation, but certainly God doesn't heal anymore. Certainly God isn't into prosperity. Certainly God isn't into, certainly God isn't super strict. I heard a pastor the other day. She calls herself, now this is a woman pastor who is wrong. And there can be men pastors who are wrong too. But she happened to be a lesbian pastor saying that there are parts of the Bible we should just remove. That's called obstinate opposition to the one you're preaching about. Now, I would not want to answer for that. Because there will come a day if she doesn't repent. And others like that. I heard David Barton taught me that in the South, at the time of the Civil War, they had their own Bible and they took out anything that had anything to do with slavery. Removed it. That's called obstinate opposition to the divine will. How many know we need to remove any of that, any trace of that from our own hearts? And that's a work of the Holy Spirit and of us being in this book, in this book, in this book. Somebody say, in this book. Yeah. Like our life depends on it and like someone else's life depends on it, right? An evil heart of unbelief. They did not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is a serious thing. Even if I'm not seeing that happening in my life, all I have to do is say, yeah, but I believe it. We don't have to say, yeah, but I don't believe it because I don't see it in my life. I don't see it in my life, but. So you can use your but in two ways. I choose to use my but. To not say, yeah, but I don't see it, so I don't believe it. I choose to say, I don't see it, but I believe it. That's a crude example, but amen. Pastor Shelley said amen, so that means I'm not in trouble. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, I am not in opposition to the divine will, to God. That's a definition of the devil. Right? Direct opposite. Mercy, right? Verse 14, finally, we'll close with this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Somebody say, hold fast. Hold fast our profession. Hold fast means to be chief, be master of. to rule. I love Rick Renner's teaching right now in his broadcast about the controlling our thoughts, our thought life. Oh, it's amazing. And he was comparing it on Friday's broadcast about someone who gets a kidney transplant. And he was like, once they have the transplant, they have to be on medication, they have to do a bunch of this so that your body doesn't reject the kidney. And he was comparing that to when we get our new born again experience and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, there's things we need to do so that we protect that thing and that we don't start rejecting it because we go back to our old ways. He was talking about being very intentional, about staying in the Word, about hearing God's voice, doing what He says. Amen? But it made me think of that when I saw this definition of hold fast, to be chief. Somebody say, I'm chief of my own heart. Right? I control what I think about. Right? To be master of, to rule. I mean, we can say Jesus is the chief of my heart, but whose heart is it? Whose heart is it? It's my heart. So I can choose who I give it to. So in that sense, I'll say, I decided I'm the chief here, devil, and I choose to give my heart to Jesus. I'm the master of my life. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I'm choosing, because He gave me that right to choose, to give my life to Him, right? He's the one ruling my life, right? It means to take, to seize, to continue to hold. How many know it's not just holding, but continuing to hold and to retain? That's what we're in the process of this nation right now, is continuing to hold on to biblical roots and values that this nation was founded upon. No matter how loud the devil screams, no matter how hard he pushes, his threats. That's what I was thinking about with Marilyn Hickey, was how many Christians nowadays have no concept that you could literally die for your faith. Right? Just like our country. How many citizens of this country have no concept of someone died on a battlefield so you could be out there burning a flag? Or protesting law and order. Try protesting law and order in some crazy Muslim country. You will die for it. Just ask Iranians. Right? So as believers, we need to be much more rooted into things that, like Marilyn Hickey, her life was literally on the line. There was one service she had that they found there were 27 suicide bombers at the meeting. There were like 30,000 people there. They stepped out in faith under the Lord's direction. 24 of them were arrested, right? Nothing happened, but they were there. Pastor Gene said a few of them got saved, a few of them tried to deploy and nothing happened. Miracles, right? But how many Christians just have issues coming to church because it's inconvenient? I mean, talk about, I just don't know how Jesus, I think Jesus might look at that as them, not us. I want Him to look at me at like an us. I'm in the us group. And that's a heart condition. Glory to God forevermore. Amen? That's why when so many people saw what happened to Charlie Kirk, they didn't maybe follow him very closely, but when people saw it, a man dying because he was standing up for faith and family, freedom of speech, It shook a lot of people awake. Right? Hallelujah. God is looking for intensity in His church. Amen? Not a church that's lazy, not doing nothing, excuses. He's looking for action, not excuses. Right? Hold fast. Be chief of, be master of, to rule, take, seize, continue to hold, to retain, to hold in check. How many know I have to hold my heart in check? What's that mean? I got to constantly be checking. I want to get one of those Garmin watches this year so I can keep better in touch of what's happening in my body. I want one that tracks my heartbeats. I want one that tracks my blood pressure. I want one that tells me I need to walk some more today. Why? Because I'm pushing 60. Right? And I've had warning lights going off for a while. Right? So it's time to get more intent about my own personal health. Well, how much more important, spiritually speaking, to keep our own hearts in check? When our heart starts wandering away, the last word is to restrain. We need to have a bit in that heart's mouth, a lasso around it. Whoa, we're not wandering that way. No, that's out of the boundaries of the Word of God. I'm not going that way. We're staying right here. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Oh, praise Jesus. I think we'll just stop right there. Let's all stand up and we'll close in prayer today. Somebody say, I'm in the us group. I'm not in the them group. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just praise Him this morning. Just lift your hands and thank Him for His goodness and His mercy, His patience with us, His loving kindness toward us, His mercy toward us. And just pray this out loud. Just say, Father God, I commit my heart to You. Just like the hymn says, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Just say that. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. We praise You, we praise You, and we praise You. And we will continue to hold fast, be full of faith, full of Your Word, communing with You daily. Be people of Your Word, people of truth, people that love God, keep our hearts in check. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, say amen.